Hey Sis.
Hey Al.
Back in our favourite cafe.
And again, so many people are watching us.
Do you think they're listening?
I kind of hope so. but I've noticed you've been reading this book quite a lot.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, Passageways. This is a book by my grandmother's cousin, and it's the story of one of my lines of ancestry and how we came from Scotland and England to live in New Zealand. It's been really quite interesting.
Cool. Have you learned anything new that you didn't know about your family? Or
yeah. Turns out I have some South Island ancestry. Yeah. I'm part mainlander. Did you know that my grandma's great-grandparents originally settled in Christchurch?
Oh.
That's my great-great-great-grandparents. And guess what?
What?
They were Baptists.
Oh.
They went to Spraydon Baptist Church, and then they became founding members of another Baptist church in the city.
Wow, and here you are, 150 years later. We're living in Christchurch, and now you're a pastor of a Baptist church.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. It's amazing what we discover from our stories, hey?
Yeah.
So you've been learning about your own whakapapa.
Mm.
Could you tell us a little bit about the whakapapa of this church?
Yeah, well, in the same way, you know, Papanui Baptist has always been a Baptist church. Pamela Griffiths, you may know her. I think she's one of the elders in our church. She wrote this book about the first 10 years of our story when we were planted here in the 1950s. So at the time, there were about 8 Baptist churches in the Canterbury Westland region, including Oxford Terrace Baptist and Spraydon, which is now Southwest Baptist. And at the time, there was growth everywhere. There was growth in the churches. They were experiencing the favour of the Lord. And the city as well was expanding rapidly. So like this area where we currently are was Orchards at the time, but the city was expanding and growing.
Mm-hmm.
And so in faithfulness to God, and I think real bravery, these 8 churches decided to purchase sites in these new subdivisions around the city in the hope and the belief that there would be people who would live in those neighbourhoods, those suburbs, that would want to worship Jesus. And so they bought these sites, the site that we're now worshipping on at Papanui Baptist Church. So we, as Papanui Baptist, are planted here out of the Baptist churches of Canterbury and of New Zealand.
Wow, so these like-minded churches got together, actually really stepped out in faith.
Mm.
Like they were buying plots of land where there were no people.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And they thought that us being a Baptist church was actually an important thing. So way back then they thought future generations would actually really benefit from being Baptist in our mission, our ministry and our discipleship. And so where did Baptists come from originally?
Yeah, well, the original New Zealand Baptists came out of England mainly. And the Baptists have been in existence there since the start of the 1600s. Our movement has been going for 410 years this year.
Wow, that's so kind of what I want to know is why do Baptists even exist? Like there was the church beforehand, how did they come about?
Yeah, so remember how in the 1500s, countries like England had come out from under the Roman Catholic Church in the Reformation?
Yeah, I remember how in church, when people would preach, the priests, they would have their back to their congregation and speak in Latin.
Yeah, I remember that too.
and nobody would know exactly what they were saying, and nobody in the congregation actually had Bibles. So the priest was seen as the mediator between God and kind of the congregation. Hey, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the Reformation changed all
that.
Yeah,
yeah.
For the first time, people were able to hear scripture and to worship in their own language. Can you imagine how suddenly intimate that would have felt? It was amazing. And so there was this new religious freedom for Christians. You may have this article in front of you if you've picked it up at the door. From John Tucker, if you turn to the Baptist Distinctives page in that second paragraph, he writes, "When the Baptist movement began in 1609, the Protestant churches of Europe were state churches." You know, they were ruled by the governments and so on, and the kings and queens. And so all citizens were forced to belong to them, whether or not they were Christians. Resistance could mean imprisonment, torture, and even death. Baptists came to the conviction that these churches weren't reformed enough. You know, they'd been through the Reformation, but there was still more to be done. And so a true church, they said, is a community of believers who, in response to Christ's call and under his direct rule, freely gather in covenant relationship with God and each other. Freely gather.
Yeah. So would you recommend that people read that article?
I actually would.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, that's probably why we printed it for everybody.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like how Paul says to the Galatians, in Galatians, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." So, you know, Paul was speaking to these Gentiles who had become Christians, and automatically the Jewish people were saying, "Hey, you need to become circumcised. To become a follower of Christ, you need to look like us." But Paul says, no, hold on. It's your by faith that you're justified. To be a follower of Christ, that is your justification of faith. And that's kind of what Murray was talking about last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This freedom is really important to us as Baptists, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Baptists were part of these people who recognized the Spirit's invitation to worship God in freedom. You know, that's why Baptists talk about being a free church, a church of a believer's church. Baptists are people who choose to gather together because they actually believe in the Lord Jesus. They're not Baptist by culture. You know, you didn't grow up and that's just where you ended up. There's a great story about a guy called Dirk Willems who...
Has anybody heard of Dirk?
Oh, man. Okay. This is a great story. So Dirk was a Russian Christian and he'd come to... not Russian, he was in the Netherlands. And he'd come to some free church convictions. And so he and his mates were worshipping not in the state church, but in their own private congregation worshipping Jesus. To do so was illegal, though. And so Dirk and his mates were imprisoned for practicing a freedom of religion. Dirk subsequently escaped his prison and was trying to run away in the middle of winter, and a guard saw him and ran after him. And so Dirk came across a frozen lake and decided, that's my way of escape. So Dirk ran across it, and miraculously, despite the thin ice, he managed to run to the other side of this lake. Looking back, he saw this guard was still pursuing him. And the guard ran across the lake, and halfway across the lake, the ice cracked under him, and this guard fell into the ice and started to drown. He was freezing. And so Dirk was faced with this horrible dilemma, this choice. He was free, and he was able to run away. This would have meant saving his life and being able to escape to some place of religious freedom. The other choice was to go back and save this man. Dirk believed in the authority of Scripture and had read there Jesus commanding to love your enemies. And so Dirk held these radical convictions, which is the roots of our church, these radical convictions that he must obey his Lord and Scripture. And so, knowing the cost, he went back to the middle of the lake, rescued this guard from the water who was drowning. There's no happy end to the story. Dirk was subsequently recaptured and ultimately executed by burning at the stake for his faith.
Wow. So the Baptist church actually was persecuted at the beginning, and persecuted quite ruthlessly.
Yep.
That's really radical. I'm keen to hear more about that. So our whakapapa as Papa Nui Baptist Church, it goes back to these roots?
Yeah. This is the lineage that we share, these radical followers of Jesus. And so these days, there are over 240 local churches in Aotearoa who share that story. We're networked together as the Baptist Churches of New Zealand. And in the Canterbury Westland region, there are now about 27 churches associating together for the sake of the kingdom.
Wow. Okay, so that's some ancestry of the church. I mean, I feel really grateful for them. Like, we can worship freely here this morning. And I'm so grateful for what they did. But most of us didn't come to Papa Nui Baptist for these same reasons. Like, we haven't come here for religious freedom and to say no to the state. So why did, you know, you all start coming to this church? We're going to ask you to speak to the person next to you. We'll give you a couple of minutes. Why did you start coming to this church?
Seeing as you're listening in on our conversation. So there's probably a whole range of reasons why people come to this church. I mean, for many people here, they'll be here because the church is local. You know, this is the nearest church and it makes sense to come here. For others, friends and family were already here, so it was nice to join them in worship. Probably for most of us, at least I hope, the church felt welcoming. It felt like home. It felt like a place where we could worship together and it felt good. And then maybe a few of you, but probably not really many, came here because it was a Baptist church and felt that God wanted them to be here.
So since there's just such a range of answers, are we all just Christians? Like, why are we bothering talking about this?
Yeah, it reminds me of a joke I heard from when people used to think that being Baptist was the only way to be church. A man died and went to heaven, and he was being shown around by St. Peter. As they went about the place, they came to various doors which St. Peter would open. At one door, they went in and they saw a group of people rolling around on the floor and shouting in tongues. "Our Pentecostals," he said. At the next door, there was a serious ritual going on. "Our Catholics," he replied. At the next door, another ritualistic service. "Our Anglicans." At the next door, he didn't open it, but instead put his finger to his lips in the hush motion, and they both tiptoed past. Once past, the man asked, "What was that all about?" "Those are the Baptists," he explained. "They think they're the only ones here." Of course, the Baptist denomination actually shares most things in common with other Christians.
Yeah.
You know, we all sing that song that we've just sung. We believe in our triune God, three in one. Mm. We believe in the incarnation and atonement of Jesus Christ. We believe in the resurrection of the dead, the life everlasting, and so on. None of that makes a person a Baptist. It makes us a Christian. And so Baptists, I think, should be comfortable worshipping alongside our brothers and sisters of other denominations, because there's one Lord, Jesus Christ, and we all worship him. Being Baptist isn't the way to get saved.
Mm. Yeah, like I grew up in a Presbyterian church.
You did it.
I did. And actually, I was really nurtured in my faith. And it is amazing how in the Presbyterian church, knowing your church history is a really big value. And I'm really thankful for that. And also, I spent a year worshipping at an Anglican church. And I would say that was one of the most profound years of my spiritual journey with Christ. It was just for a season, but actually it was wonderful. Mm. You know, both those places, I can think of incredible Christians who have really nurtured my faith.
I'll tell you a secret. For my master's thesis, I studied a Roman Catholic theologian. Yeah. And you know what? There were a couple of things I disagreed with, but on the whole, I was reading this guy, and I actually thought, you know what? This guy's encouraging me in my faith. We're Christians together, and I fully expect to meet him in the new heavens and new earth.
Mm.
In fact, most of the theologians I read aren't Baptist. They're Anglicans and Presbyterians and so on. So why do we have the name Baptist in our church? What are the distinctives about this denomination? What makes us unique? What makes someone a Baptist?
So kind of the only real distinction we have is our vision of the church. As Christians, we all have to face the question of what kind of Christian community do we want to be a part of? We need to belong into a space, and there's actually different ways that we organize how we do church. The distinction comes in about how we do and be church.
Okay, so our only real distinctive is our vision of the church. And that vision, it has elements that we see in other churches, but in the Baptists, it's a unique combination. So we can kind of summarize it as four things that we're going to be talking about through this series. Firstly, as Baptists, we're sold out for Jesus. You know, we do this believer's baptism where, you know, we had it a couple of weeks ago. Someone who is of an age where they feel that they can actually testify and say, "Yes, I believe in Jesus." They choose to testify in front of people and believing are baptized. So we're sold out for Jesus. Mm. Secondly, Baptists love the Bible. You know, they believe in the authority of Scripture. And so it's ultimately as Scripture guides us to know God and Jesus Christ and to know what it means to practice being the church. We believe in the authority of Scripture. Thirdly, Baptists, I think, uniquely value all people. You know, decisions aren't made in the church by the pastor or by the elders or by a bishop or someone. They're made by the congregation as we discern Christ together. Mm. We believe in congregational governance. We value all people. And then lastly, we can be creative in our mission. So Baptists believe in this distinction of church and state. You know, the state, the government, doesn't tell us how we can practice our worship. Mm. And that was especially important back in the day. This means that we can be creative in our mission as we feel the Lord prompt us and lead us in freedom.
I feel that there's kind of some distinctives that you've forgot, like that we always late. Yeah, I think, you know, if you're with other denominations, they talk about Baptist time.
Yeah. 10 past 10 equals 10 o'clock.
Yeah, for most meetings. And we really don't like the front. That's a distinction too. Or sitting too close together, that's quite a Baptist thing too. It's different in different denominations, eh? But how would you feel if we took away the vote that we have and didn't have the conviction that Christ speaks to us all and that we all can discern the mind of Christ? How would that feel if we just stopped doing that? Mm. Or what if we stopped believing that the Holy Spirit has given us spiritual gifts for today? What if we just started believing that actually that was just for the early church? If we stopped that practice that we have here, how would that make you feel? If we stopped baptizing people on confession of their faith and instead baptized them when they were born, saying that they would, this was their confession done through their parents, how would you feel if we made that switch? It's really likely that you have a theological view of what the church should be and how it should operate. And we would learn that theological view if we changed things. But because it just feels normal, sometimes we don't realize that that's a conviction that we actually are holding. So whether conscious or not, I think most people come here because we share a common idea of what it is to be the church and how we do things together as the church.
Yeah.
But do we need to focus on this stuff? I mean, who really cares about being Baptist? Isn't it just divisive? Surely the church has enough troubles as it is.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because at times this has been divisive. You know, many Baptists used to be so fixated on being Baptist that they couldn't imagine worshipping with Christians of other denominations, and certainly not Catholics. But I don't think focusing on being Baptist has to be divisive. In fact, I think it can allow us to actually be more of a gift to other denominations. You know, like how people in this church, this cafe, have different gifts that enable us to work together for the sake of Christ?
Mm.
In the same way, I think being Baptist is like our spiritual gift to the Church of New Zealand, as we work together under the same Lord for the sake of his kingdom.
Yeah, this makes me think about the Salvation Army. You know, and they remind us that the kingdom of God involves good deeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it makes me think of the Pentecostals, and they remind us that the kingdom of God involves signs and wonders. I'm really glad we have this reminder. And then of the Anglicans, they remind us that the kingdom of God involves the word of God and that we need to dwell in that word. I mean, aren't we the richer for these expressions?
Yeah, and so it seems to me that Baptists bring this gift of a radical discipleship to Jesus Christ. You know, like Dirk Willems that we talked about before. Are there any other Baptists that inspire you?
Yeah. Who knows Charles Spurgeon?
I know Charles Spurgeon.
Yeah, he's on our coffee table.
Yeah.
Well, not him, but...
His book is.
And he became a Baptist pastor when he was 19, far too young.
Too young. That'll never work.
And at age 22, he was seen as one of the most prolific preachers. And his sermons were very popular in the early church in New Zealand. Some pastors just preached his sermons. They were that popular. And he had this Baptist conviction that was really strong, that Scripture should be accessible to everybody in the congregation, that Scripture needed to be unpacked and understandable for those in the congregation, and that his role as a pastor preacher was to equip the congregation to better read scripture. And he really benefited the church, the wider church. What about you, Al? Is there anybody?
Yeah, did you ever hear of a guy called Billy Graham?
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't get it.
Anyone else hear about a guy called Billy Graham? Billy was a Baptist preacher, and they reckon that millions of people heard him live preach the gospel. And Billy was driven by what I think was a Baptist conviction, that all people, those who had grown up Christians included, needed to hear and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a Baptist conviction that the church is for believers, for people who choose to lay down their life and follow Christ. Because of this Baptist focus, the conviction of faith is freely done rather than being born into Christianity. And you know, yeah, I just think he was an incredible gift, not just to the Baptist church, but to the church of the world.
Yeah, yeah, and this brings to mind Martin Luther King. I think one of his lines in one of his sermons has been the most quoted sermons by Christians and non-Christians alike. Does anybody know what it is? I have a dream.
Oh, yeah, I know that one.
Yeah, yeah. And he was led by a Baptist conviction too. Martin believed each of us have the ability to represent Christ to each other. And what was happening in America is there was a belief that African Americans were less than white Americans. Mm. And so there was this disparity and separation where the representation of Christ was segregated and African Americans were not deemed good enough.
Right.
Yeah, so he, you know, from this Baptist conviction and reading scripture said that's not right. Mm. And in his true radical Baptist roots said, hey, the state cannot determine the separation. Mm. And so he rallied against that.
Yeah, so Baptists value all people.
Yeah.
And another way we've seen that is at the very early days of being Baptist, they had women voting.
What?
Helping make decisions. They even had women preaching.
Wow.
Baptists value all people. Yeah. That's a gift to the church.
So they've all been a part of growing the wider church. That's the amazing thing about it. With the Billy Graham Crusades, it didn't matter whether people went to a Baptist church afterwards or not. That wasn't the point. But the distinction of him being Baptist led to him doing these things that he did. And so there's this radical part of us that actually has been a part of growing the church significantly in church history, which I actually think we need to celebrate. Mm. To me, there seems to be something really good about being Baptist that maybe we kind of need to reclaim.
Yeah. So, over the next 6 weeks, we're exploring what it means to be Baptist, not by convenience, but by conviction. Why we think being Baptist can be a good thing. We believe, that it represents a compelling vision of being the church. And in turn, it's our prayer that God will invite us to live out this unique gift for the blessing of the church of all denominations in Aotearoa and beyond, that there might be a more radical commitment to Jesus Christ and his gospel.
Mm.
Throughout the preaching series, we're accompanying it with these Grow Night series, and that's going to be a space for us as a church to talk together. You know, it's going to be an open conversation time where we can go, what does it mean for us if this is what it means to be a Baptist church? How are we going to be Papa Nui Baptist Church? Is there stuff that we can wrestle with here to give shape to how we practice being the church?
Mm.
Do you want to pray for us?
Yes. Yeah, let us pray. Jesus, we believe that you are present among us. We believe that you speak to each of us. And we believe that through each of us, you desire to minister to each of us. And so, Lord, I pray that as we do this six-week course, that you will speak clearly to us as we meet together. You say that where two or three are gathered, you will be there also. We take that really seriously. And so may we come expected to hear from you. And may we come with open hearts to see where you might guide us and where you might lead us. In your mighty name, amen.
Ha, ha, ha.